Morning.
Hey, I was actually really excited to see that the signups that this is a smaller group because I really want us to interact a lot and hopefully answer questions that you guys have. So let me pray and then we'll get started. Lord, we are excited about today. Thank you for a new day that you've made, and we want to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for our children that are gifts. I pray, God, that we would continue to be dependent parents, that we would continue, Lord, to find our wisdom and joy and strength and patience from you. And Lord, especially as we look towards launching our kids, God, help us to be excited and intentional. And we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay. Just to make sure, rite of passage training. Are we all in the right room for today? How many of you already have teenagers, like right now? You have a teenager, preteen. Okay, we all have children, though, at some point. No, Hank doesn't. That's right. You don't. I'm glad you're here. So let me introduce to you the idea of this rite of passage thing. And I, just to tell you my story, when I was a youth pastor way back in, I started in 1999 through 2007, and a student of mine in my youth group, his dad had gone through the book Raising a Modern Day Knight, so if you haven't seen this book, and he invited me to come to this ceremony, and I was like, okay, whatever, and he told me a couple things to show up, to be prepared to kind of share, and guys, I was blown away and blessed. Like, I'd never experienced this in my own life. I never felt like I had been called into manhood, and I'm a part of now this dad intentionally calling his son into manhood and all these other men of our church that were there, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, I love this. And at the time, I think my oldest son was like 5, but I was like, this is what I want to work towards. I really want to work towards something where I'm launching my kids or calling them intentionally into adulthood. What's interesting in our culture, so you guys are going to love this. In our culture, we are recognizing that our kids aren't growing up. So here's an example. There is a new Game of Life. You guys know the original old classic? I played it. I bought the old version with my kids, and we played it a few weeks ago. And it's just, you know, basic. You go to college, you do this, and you get whatever. So this is called the Game of Life Quarter Life Crisis. I don't know if you guys can see this. And it says, now with crippling debt. So this is like, it's a game, but it's like a tongue-in-cheek, but almost like mocking kind of where you're at. It's just like the real world. Choose your path for stress, struggle, and existential despair. Like, it's really almost funny of what you do there. And then they have Monopoly for Millennials. So this is another one where the bottom it says, forget real estate, you can't afford it anyway. And they really, it's almost like making fun of, this is on the back of it, for millennials who need a break from adulting, collect experiences, not cash, to win. Okay? Visit the vegan bistro, friend's couch, or parent's basement. Like, it's really almost like this slap in the face, you know, but we're having fun. On the different things you can go to, you've got the farmer's market, thrift shop, like I said, vegetarian bistro, vegan bistro, like all this stuff. So it's really kind of fun and funny, but also almost a bummer when you look at, man, even our culture is kind of making fun of this, like, come on, guys, it's time to grow up. Like, you got to do something. So this is where I know that all of us feel like, okay, I don't want that for my kids. I know what I don't want, but what do I do? How can I help this? Now, again, all of this is the grace of God, and you're praying for God to capture their heart, for them to catch this vision. And different kids, I think if you heard last night, my wife and I have 8 kids, and each of my boys, the different stages, their frontal cortex started to form a little differently or sooner, and they could kind of see it. But I just remember so many talks with one of my sons, just like, buddy, I want so much for you, and I'm praying for your future, and this is what I see, but the path you're on right now is not heading toward the future you think, okay? So here's the way I like to think of parenting. We did this in our parenting class a couple times, but the goal that we want as parents is our kids can live in the sea of independence, okay? When they're young, we have them in kind of the bay of security down here. Like, you're more in control, and it's safer than way out there and all the big waves and all the dangers. And your job is to try to help them navigate to get out there, okay? So you get hopefully more and more freedom, independence, right? Here's a whole lot of protection down here. And really, these different roles that you have, when they're like 0 to 5, you're like their caretaker, right? You're keeping them alive. Food and shelter, obviously you're loving them and stuff, but that's like your main thing is like, I don't want them to like, don't run with scissors, don't run in the street. Then you become almost like the cop in the elementary years where it's a lot of do that, don't do that, no, stop, and discipline formation. Again, all this time you're loving them, sharing God's truth with them, those kinds of things, but that's kind of your role. And then it shifts to more like a coach during the teenage years. And this is really important that it shifts to this coach. Because if your plan is, I'm going to stay the cop during the teenage years, it's not fun. Some of you know that or have tried that. My job also during these years to help warn them a little bit more of some of these boat sinkers. I want them to get out in their little skiff to a bigger and bigger boat where they can handle all these big waves. And there's a whole lot of choices during their teen years that could sink their boat or tie their life in a bunch of knots they're going to spend the rest of their life trying to untie. But then, this is the fun one, where I am with 4 of my children. You're just the consultant. And you're not having to provide for them anymore. And you're offering wisdom. And 3 of my sons have children of their own now. And I think I have some things to offer. They're not asking a whole lot of questions, but I'm just like, I'm not going to insert myself here. I'm not going to, because they're all parenting totally differently. But this is where I want us to think of, and there's always going to be a struggle between control and freedom. Okay? It's always going to be a struggle. I mean, from when they're little, when do I give them more freedom, more responsibility, trust them more? Okay? Our motto in our house has been, you have this circle of freedom that gets bigger or smaller based on 2 things, your attitude and your responsibility. Like, if you have a great attitude, then I can trust you a little bit more. If you're being responsible, I can trust you. But if you're not doing those very well, then your circle's going to get a little smaller. Okay? But this is a reminder for all of this of what I'm shooting towards. 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul makes this comparison of maturity. He says, listen, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Okay? So what you're saying, what you're thinking, and how you're processing, they were childish. Okay? But then when he says, when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. And that is our goal, that we don't want you to think like a child anymore, to have this self-centered view that I'm processing stuff through that. I heard one guy say that manhood is the defeat of childhood narcissism. That's kind of the goal. Like, all our little kids are little narcissists, you know, everything revolves around them. And that's our goal. And so going back to even just our chart right there, you don't want to, like I said, always be their caretaker. Like, you're giving them more responsibility. We don't want to always be the cop. Even on into college, I had a buddy whose parents, I grew up in San Diego, and we were literally, I think we were either seniors in high school or freshmen in college, and we were going to go up to Disneyland, like an hour and a half away. And his mom was like, I really don't think you should go. Like, you've been a little under the weather. And she was like, basically saying, no, don't go. And he didn't go. And it was like, oh, I mean, for all of us, where it was like, road trip, we're going to go. And but mom said, you know. And so she was kind of still being the caretaker cop thing. So I mentioned this last night. And again, my job is I want them to have independence. And Lord, obviously, I want you to keep them safe, but make them dangerous. Like, I want them to be arrows for you. We talked about this last night, that we're launching arrows. The problem in this generation is our kids are more ending up like boomerangs, where we're launching them and then they're coming back home. Now, again, there's always times when this is necessary. We've had kids come back in between college and jobs or other things like that. But, like, I'm just, like, floating, not going anywhere, and I'm just going to, my plan A is I'm going to live with mom and dad in the race, and I'm going to, like, that's not what we want. So we're launching them. And again, I mentioned this last night, that we are called to unleash single-minded, Christ-centered, biblically anchored world changers. And they're all going to live that out in different ways. My kids are all doing different jobs in different ways. But my prayer is, wherever you go, you're biblically anchored, you're changing the world, but you're focused on what really matters. And it does not have to be a ministry at all. Like, I want them to understand that. So, what is a rite of passage? Here is my basic explanation of it. It is a time to affirm your child, help them prepare for God's plan for their future, challenge them to leave behind the world of childhood, and invite them into the ranks of emerging adulthood. It's kind of like a bestowed identity, okay? In other words, what I'm telling my kids in a rite of passage ceremony, and it's a one-time event and it's a process. So I'll tell you more about that as we go here. But I want to make sure they understand, like, I'm going to expect a little more of you. I want to see you differently. I want you to have a little more freedom because I'm calling you into this whole other area that I'm excited that you're getting called into. And you're now one of us. And it doesn't mean that automatically then all their behavior, all of a sudden they're acting like adults. But bestowing this on them, and this is the beauty of just the gospel, right? Our identity in Christ is received, not achieved. That God just says, you are my child, you are a man of God, you are a woman of God, you're a chosen race. Like, God's given us all of these, you know, identities. So this is a time of bestowing identity on them, that I am calling you this now, and you might not feel fully like you're like that. Like, I still, you know, through my 20s and even 30s, and sometimes now, I'm just like, what am I doing? I just feel like a little kid sometimes. Like, I can't believe they've trusted me with the keys or something like that. So this is what's interesting, though. In so many cultures, and for sure for thousands of years, we had, in almost every culture, a way to officially do this. Okay? So it still happens today. If you're of the Jewish faith, we have a bar mitzvah. That literally means, or a bat mitzvah, but it means son of the commandments. And this is around 12 years old, where you're raising this boy, he's memorizing a lot of stuff, and so it literally means son of the commandments, where we're saying these commandments are now becoming yours. Like, we're expecting you to be differently, and we're inviting you into the ranks of adulthood. If you go to the Dallas Arboretum, you will see plenty of girls getting their pictures taken for the quinceañera, where this is kind of 15 years old, and like this is like a big moment where I'm becoming this. But there's other cultures that have done different weird things, you guys. There is this land diving in Pentecost Island. This is stuff that they still do in other tribes, where it's basically bungee cords, but you've got vines holding you, and you've got to do this brave thing. Most of these are for men to do. The Fula whip match, the Fulani tribe does this thing where it's basically who's going to give in first. Like, you're whipping each other, and they do this kind of a thing. There's some stars on this guy's back. The Maasai tribe in Africa, they do a big lion killing. Like, you're not really a man until you kill a lion, and they send you off. And the Spartans used to do this. Even Native Americans, they had the sun dance from the Lakota tribe, where they would actually take these hooks and barbs and put them in their skin that's attached to this pole that's like turning, and they would just, I know, right? Like, what does this have to do with manhood? But it's all about, if you notice, those last three are about bravery, about being able to handle pain and discomfort, and not, you know, not give in, those kinds of things. So again, I would say that's not how I want to develop these things in my child. But the goal, the mentality still is, you've got to be tougher. You can't just sit here and cry. Like, you've got to man up, okay? Even in knighthood, me and my boys are studying the Middle Ages a little bit with our school right now. There was a process of squire, you know, like page, squire, like all those things, where we're moving you up based on these things, and now we're going to knight you, and this comes with even more responsibility. And that's the basis, again, of the book Raising a Modern Day Knight, that he compares that to those things. What's interesting is to even see how Hollywood kind of latches onto this, that if you've seen Kingdom of Heaven, Liam Neeson is kind of this mentor knight guy to Orlando Bloom. So if you want to become a knight, you need a Liam Neeson. But if you watch Star Wars, guess what? You also need a Liam Neeson to help guide you. But guess what? If you want to be part of the League of Shadows, you need a Liam Neeson to be your mentor. So what is it with Liam Neeson? I don't know, but it's interesting even how Hollywood recognizes, even in the Star Wars films or Lord of the Rings, like, you need a guide. You need someone older than you that's guiding you. So in all of this, I just want to remind you, you do not have to parent alone. And I'll tell you kind of how we structured our ceremonies that we did, and we invited other people in the community and our church and their lives to be a part of this. So think about this. What rites of passages does our culture have? What are some things we would say, like, oh, this is how you know you're growing up? What are some things? Driving. Okay, driving. Anything else?
Voting.
Quinceañera. Okay, yeah, quinceañera, yep. Okay. Okay, yeah, there's a legal, okay, now we see you as an adult. I put down maybe getting your first job, okay? Driving, of course, is a big one. I think a natural one we think of is like graduation. Like, okay, now because you've, you know, finished high school, we're going to see it that way, or college. Maybe voting, like, okay, now you're old enough to vote. I think of, like, moving out, maybe we kind of call it that way. See how happy mom and dad are in that photo? But maybe then living on your own and paying bills for the first time. Like, this is what my 19-year-old daughter is doing for her first time. Like, she's living on her own, learning, like, yeah, the landlord doesn't care. Like, he just wants the money. Like, it's just, this is the way life goes. So, we kind of have our own ways of doing this, but they're all arbitrary. They're all kind of unofficial. Our kids don't feel like, okay, I can vote now. Now am I? Okay, now am I? And they don't feel this sense of, when am I now considered an adult? And so we've kind of created those, but they're not very official. So here's what I want you to think about for a second. When did you first see yourself as a man or a woman and not just a kid? Because I remember, and I don't know if you guys can relate to this, when I was a freshman in high school, I remember seeing the senior guys, and they looked like grown men, right? I mean, to me, they were just men. But then when I became a senior, I didn't feel that I looked like that. The freshmen looked like children, right? But I still didn't feel like that. And so it's kind of this, when do you see yourself that way? And again, if you've never had anything done intentionally, it's kind of like, I guess I am now because of, and then you think of all those things. I graduated, I got a job, I got married, I'm a parent. Like, I guess I should grow up, right? So here's three big points that I want to make about this. Bringing a child into adulthood is a lifestyle. It's not a one-time event. So I don't want you to come away from here thinking like, oh, so we just do a little party and we bestow on them adulthood and now they're going to be great. That's kind of the capstone of kind of a lifestyle of, I'm trying to move you to maturity, okay? So we're going to increase responsibility. We're going to give you more freedom in some areas. And again, your circle of freedom is going to be dependent on some things. But it is a lifestyle, not a one-time event. And here's why this is important. If you celebrate a milestone without equipping them, you're just throwing a party, okay? It's just going to be another thing that, like, it's just like one of my other birthday parties that I had or something else like that. If they don't see it as, that was actually a big deal that I've been equipped for, okay? And at the end, we'll talk about, so how do you know when you should do this? So, first and foremost, you need the heart of a discipler. And I love the way Deuteronomy 6 just gives us these windows of opportunity, like, hey, listen, when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, like, transition, when you lie down, when you get up, like, use those opportunities. And I know it's tempting, obviously, when they're little, just like, we just want to get them to bed. It's interesting, as my kids have gotten older, and Caitlin have gotten older, then your teens start putting you to bed. It's like, they want to stay up late, and we're just like, just come in here and tell us goodnight. You know, we're going to sleep. Especially, you know, Katie and I we're kind of doing parenting 2.0. We have a 9 and 10-year-old, and we're both in our 50s. So we're like, you guys are going to be putting us to bed, changing our diapers. Like, you're going to be like, get ready. Like, this is going to be fun. I want to show you a clip from a movie, though, and I'll tell you why I want you to listen and watch what's going on. But this is from Superman the movie. Anyone seen Superman the movie? Okay, this came out in 1976. I was a kid, and this was a big blockbuster for me. But I want you to watch what's going on here. So just to give you the context, young Clark Kent, there's a car driving away. He just kind of showed off in front of his friends that he was super. He was racing a train. He, like, beat this group of kids home by running. And his dad sees it. And he knew, like, you're just showing off. But I want you to watch this conversation that they have.
I didn't mean to show off, Pop. It's just that guys like that Brad, I just want to tear him apart.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, I shouldn't.
Yeah, I know. You can do all these amazing things, and sometimes you think that you will just go bust unless you can tell people about it.
Yeah. I mean, every time I hit the football, I can make a touchdown.
That's for sure.
Every time.
Yeah.
I mean, is it showing off if somebody's doing the things he's capable of doing? Is it a bird showing off when it flies?
No. No, now, you listen to me. When you first came to us, we thought that people would come and take you away because when they found out, you know, the things you could do, and it worried us a lot. But then a man gets older and he thinks very differently and things get very clear. And there's one thing I do know, son, and that is you are here for a reason. I don't know whose reason, whatever the reason is, you know, maybe it's because thing. It's not to score touchdowns.
It's a really good movie. You guys haven't seen it. Here's my main question. Does that look like that was their first conversation? No. You can just tell, and I love the way in the movie they capture that, like, this is just what we do, right? So, sorry. I'm a crier. I never got that from my dad. Ever. Where I felt like he'd understand. He's sharing with me, here's what you're gonna face. Here's how you deal with girls or lust or porn, or here's what it means to be a man. Like, I never got that. And then God goes and gives me 6 sons. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord. Wow. I don't know what I'm doing. And so I felt like I was figuring this out along the way as I went. But this is the thing. You need the heart of a discipler. Like, I'm on your side. I am not just trying to mold you into this of what I think you should be. Right? And you saw that. Even Pa Kent just going like, I know that you're here for a reason. Okay? And the good news is we know that reason. Of what God wants us to do. It talks about, hey, listen, here's what I want you to do, people. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. This is our job, to point our kids to the point, like I said last night. He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children. That, remember last night I was talking about, what's your why? Why do we do this? Well, there's a reason. That the next generation might know the children yet unborn and arise and tell them to their children. So we're talking about now grandchildren, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. So this heart of a discipler is I'm ultimately pointing them to the point. I'm guiding them. I'm discipling them. So during the teen years, let me just share with you some core competencies that I think we should emphasize. Okay. A big one is going to be their identity in Christ. I just think that, I mean, for all of us, is always going to be a struggle. Like, what is my identity? Because it doesn't change from a middle school insecurity to a midlife crisis. It's all identity struggles, right? It's the same thing. Like, what do I believe? Do people think I'm? Am I achieving the right whatever? So I always, I try to read this. My friend Glenn knows this. Once a year at least, I try to read The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness by Tim Keller. Really thin little book. Like, you can read it within an hour. But it is such a great reminder for me of where my identity comes from. And it's a really simple book you could go through even with your teen. But I've got to make sure that my identity is grounded in Christ. But for my children, I'm reminding them that it is not in, and again, this is going to be what I emphasize with my kids. It's not your identity. It's not in your grades. It's not your accomplishments, athletically or anything else. We communicate to our kids what we actually value by what we praise, what we plan for, and what we pay for. Like, that tells our kids what we actually value. I can tell them all day long, this is important to me, but when they watch what I praise, what I get excited about, what I'm willing to pay for, what I'm willing to plan for, that actually tells them that's what Dad really cares about. That's what Mom thinks really is valuable, okay? Healthy relationships is a big one during these years, and that could be friendships or dating relationships, depending on when you feel that is appropriate. As a former youth pastor and high school teacher, I have some strong opinions on dating. But what is a healthy relationship? What does it mean to be a friend? And guys, again, this might sound weird, but explaining to your children, do you understand what it means to be a friend? Okay? Not just always have fun, but what does it mean to actually be a friend? Why do you want to spend time with that guy or that girl? Like, what does that look like? Explaining these things to them. And again, the world, this is what's hard. The world is going to tell you it's none of your business, first of all. Your kids are going to feel like, or have an attitude that looks like, it's none of your business, okay? It is your business, okay? Even with the dating stuff, I'll just tell you, if the second most important decision they're ever going to make in their life is who they marry, okay, I should be involved. I should be sharing some things. And so many times that's when parents get quiet, because they're just like, well, they'll figure it out, or I figured it out, or whatever, versus like, I want to spare them so much heartache. I want to help them. I'm going to set them up for success, okay? A commitment to biblical purity and sexuality. There's going to be a whole lot of resources at Watermark that we're about to launch in January that I'll share with you guys a little bit today. But helping them understand the importance of that, of what does the Bible say about that, and what I'm supposed to do with my body, and those kinds of things, okay? And especially in today's world, there's unfortunately conversations you have to have with your kids that they're not very fun. Like, basic stuff, like I don't enjoy talking to my kids about modesty. I had to talk to my daughter yesterday about modesty from some pictures she's posting online. I'm just like, baby, that's not, that is no fun. Talking to my sons about porn, those are no fun. Trying to explain to my kids why we're at this Texas State Fair and there's this, clearly a man because he's got a beard, but he's wearing makeup and long hair, carrying a purse and looking like I have to explain that to my child. Like, so there's conversations that we're going to have that, you know, but who else is going to have these conversations with your kids? Okay? Don't depend on like the kids ministry or the student ministry to be doing those kinds of things. Teaching them spiritual disciplines during these years to realize, I want to model these for my kids, but have I explained to my child, here's how you study the Bible? Or, again, am I thinking, well, that's what they teach them at church. Am I explaining to them, here's how you pray. This is what I do for my prayer time. Like, sit down, let me show you what I do. You don't have to do this, but I just want to make sure that you hear at least one technique, okay? And I want your faith to become your faith. Like, I really want you to own this. Spiritual gifts and serving. Helping young people understand, if you've trusted Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you, God has given you a spiritual gift. And there's ways you can figure out what that is to learn your passions. But beginning to take them, all of my kids, at some point during their teen years, I took them on a big mission trip. I tried to take them to different locations, and a lot of this was convenient because of either my church or with Pine Cove, but I took each of them to a different country to have this different experience that was different from all their other, you know, kids, and we do mission trips here, but I just want them to learn, like, the joy of serving, that you are happiest when you are not seeking your own happiness. That's just kind of a life principle, but basic tenets of the faith, like, just making sure they understand, like, these are just some foundational stuff. If they're going to go off to college and then they're going to be looking for a church, am I helping them know, like, this is what you need to look for? Like, there's some things that that we can flex on, but then there's some essentials that you got to make sure are, you know, being emphasized in the right way. So those are just some basic stuff to lead up to what you're doing. Because, again, we don't want to just be throwing a party and just be like, go succeed, if we haven't really equipped them. So here's some preliminary questions. How do I see my child right now? Like, when you're looking at them, do you feel like, are you thinking about them? And sometimes it's important just to start with, okay, what is my child doing right? Because sometimes it's so easy to focus on all the things they're not doing right. But just to be thankful, okay, how do I see them right now? And then what is their potential? How has God wired them? Even thinking about this as they get older, getting ready to launch, am I thinking about who I want them to be versus what I want them to do? Because so many times my thoughts get caught up in, well, if you go to this college, it's because of this major and because of this. And I'm thinking more about what they're going to do versus, listen, I don't care what you do if you are in love with Jesus and you're seeking him. And, like, I don't care what you do. Like, I really don't. I just want you to be passionately in love with Jesus. But, again, you've got to talk about what they're going to do, but you don't want that to be the main emphasis. What do I desire for them 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And then, have I ever expressed this to them? Like, it's okay to tell your kids, hey, listen, this is what I pray for you. This is what I see in you, and this is what I pray for you. Those two things, just an ongoing reminder to them, just looking them in the eyes and say, hey, I'm proud of you. Like, that's a big deal, especially to a teenage boy, just to stop my son in the hallway and to go, hey, I just want you to know I'm proud of you, and then move on. Like, you can do that. Every now and then, they might just go, why? And, right, you can tell them why. If you can think up any, I'm just kidding. But this is really important to tell my kids, hey, this is what, like, I ask them, how can I be praying for you? That tells a lot of what's kind of where their heart is, how deep they are. But also say, man, this is what I see in you. This is what I love about you, but this is what I'm praying for you. And the reason I even think of, like, how do I see them now? I just go back to this classic example of David. When God sends Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint the next king, God actually is going to do this lesson for Samuel that he gets to learn from. God doesn't say, go to Bethlehem and anoint Jesse's son David. He just goes, it's one of David's sons. And it's going to be this object lesson for Samuel, where he goes, hey, Jesse, bring out your sons. And so what does Jesse do? He brings out his 7 older sons, but not David. David's number 8. And so you think of, like, 7's the number of completion. He's like, surely it's one of these kids. And so now this goes back to, how did Jesse even see David? Was he thinking, like, he's a potential? And then you guys know the story, right? It's like, none of these. Initially, Sam was like, oh, it must be that guy. And the Lord's like, nope, you're looking the way man looks. Don't look at the outward appearance. And so Jesse's like, so do you have any other sons? And Jesse's like, well, I mean, there's David. I'll go get David. Like, I don't know. I might be exaggerating a little bit there. But the point is, do I see my children like 10 years down the road? And what am I excited about? How am I giving them a bigger vision there? When my kids leave home, what do I want most for them? Social standing, their well-adjusted athletic accomplishment, good grades, faith and character, right? Seeing that up there, we all know the right answer. What we should say, right? Good grades. I'm just kidding. But this is the big question. Which of these gets most of my time and my emphasis? Like, what do they feel dad or mom are most excited about? Now, these things aren't bad, and we have to emphasize these for a lot of different reasons. But what is most important, okay, is what I want to make sure that they capture. So, how do we do this? Let's talk about a few steps. The first one is to create a plan. This is a small investment of thought and effort will mean a great deal to your son or daughter. So, we have done 6 of these little ceremonies. We didn't call them really rite of passage, but it was like, we called it, this is your manhood ceremony. For our daughters, my wife wanted it to be a little more elegant. It was our purity and promise proclamation was the phrasing that my wife wanted to do. And it was more of a little lady party. But I'll tell you more of what we did. But all of them looked different. And they were at different ages of where I kind of felt like my kids were. I think my 3-year-old boys, it was 15 and 14. My daughter Annabeth was like 13. Callie was 15. And then Kobe, I think, was 13. We just did different ages, kind of based on where I kind of felt that they were. But also, I try to consider, like, okay, what would they enjoy? What would bless them? How are they wired? So here's what we did. The second step, and this is why I loved going to that very first rite of passage ceremony, you guys, because it is so simple. And after I did this with my son, I was like, oh my goodness, that was one of the easiest things to plan and to pull off, and it was amazing. So I had there, invite people who have had an impact in your teen's life, and or whom they respect. So for my kids, it was like their youth pastor or a camp counselor or someone that they knew from Pine Cove, an older sibling. For a couple of my sons, it was one of their best friends' dads who really knew them well, that they hung out with and stuff. And I invited these men to come. For my daughters, it was some other ladies that were older and that had kind of mentored them or that they knew. What was really fun for my daughter Annabeth was one of the girls who had been pouring into her later became my daughter-in-law. It was really kind of cool. She wasn't dating my son at that time, but she was someone that invested in Annabeth, and she came. But here's what it says there. Give each person a specific topic on which he or she will speak or write a letter. Some topics may include work, marriage, integrity, faith, purity, family, etc. I had a friend at Pine Cove whose son was doing this for his son. He had his son, actually he gave him different topics and assigned the topics to different men and said, before this thing, I want you to go interview them. Like, say, I want to take you out to lunch and I want to talk to you about what does it mean to be a man of God at the workplace or in your marriage. And it was really intentional. It was really cool for me as a dad to pour into them. And then at the ceremony to get to remind him of, remember what we talked about. For my kids, what we did is we just said, okay, here's what their name means. So anything you want to encourage them with based on their name. Like my son Caleb. Caleb means bold and courageous. So anything you want to talk about with that. How would you define manhood? And then any advice you'd have for a 15-year-old boy. Like really, really simple. But I said I would like you to write it down. You can literally just read it. But I want you to write it down. Because at the end, I want you to give it to them so they can kind of collect it. And then I wanted them to kind of write their own little summary of stuff. So with Jordan, I invited these men, they showed up at my house, I asked Katie just to make some snacks or whatever, and again, this is my first time ever, and we sat in my living room, and I just had each man go around and just share. And again, it was such a blessing, like to hear these men calling my son out, but also, you know what I loved? There began to be this thread of common stuff about God's word and wisdom and humility or things like that where I was like, I love that. He's getting the same thing. And there's so many times where this is what I've been telling you. See, I'm not crazy, right? Those kinds of things. But it was just a blessing. It was awesome to invite these men. And then, like I said, they make it easy for others to participate by providing them with a recommended wording for their talk or letter in order to help them avoid being nervous. And again, they all knew what was going on. And I told them,
This is like chill. You're just going to be sitting on the couch. Like, we're not going to, you're not standing up at a podium. But with my son Caleb, so second born, he's way more outgoing and athletic, and Jordan is like a typical firstborn. Like, he's going to be taking this and writing notes and, like, you know, all this stuff. Caleb's more what kind of a thing. So we went to a gym and we played pickup basketball. And then we're all hot and sweaty. We just went to Grace, a high school in Tyler. And then we just pulled out these metal chairs and made a circle, and then the men shared. And so with each of my sons, with Rylan, his birthday was in December, I had this new idea. And it was kind of like the rite of passages in other cultures. I'm like, I want him to like suffer a little bit. So it was cold. I had him go out on the camp property and had a tent and have a little fire. And with him, we did like every 30 minutes, I asked a different man to go out to him and meet with him one-on-one and talk to him and share some challenges with him. And that was really fun. And then I came at the very end. With Kobe, we did kind of a, we threw axes and blowguns and knives, and it was more like spears. It was just kind of like just mending, I don't know, we're just throwing stuff. It was fun. But then we went inside and had that. At the end of all four of those, then I stood up and I challenged my son and said, hey, this is what, what I've seen you, what I'm praying for you, kind of gave them, here's my definition, here's what I'm praying for you, and then we gave them a sword. So with my two older boys, I picked out the sword, and then I was like, they know this is coming now. So they got to pick their own. So Rylan wanted, he got the replica of the William Wallace sword, like the big one. I'll show you a picture in a second. Kobe wanted, it was a model of Gandalf's sword. This was at Kobe's rite of passage, where a bunch of, again, men and one of his best friends was ever, that's his dad. These are guys that I worked with at camp and other people like that. We prayed over him, and then we gave him a sword, which is really fun. And then I took a picture. I need to take a new one because Kobe's so much older now. But where I said, hey, guys, everybody bring your sword. And I'll take a picture. And like, it's fun to see my older boys and have this hanging up in their house as grown men. When they graduated college and were about to launch, I gave them an arrow, like a metal arrow. We had another little kind of I'm launching you type thing. But that's what we did for those guys. So here's some things to include possibly. Maybe you just want to give them a blessing. Like, you're going to pray a blessing over them where you're affirming their potential in word or letter, express gratitude for their life. But that's a big thing, to get a father's blessing. Okay, and I shared last night, you can just take it straight from number 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. But if you want to write a blessing, maybe you can give a vision for the future. You're casting a vision for them, but you're asking God to help them as they enter a season of significant decisions that will impact the future. And again, even the most simple of these, it was really just meaningful for the boys to hear these men that they respected affirm them. For my daughters, we had more dessert and some flowers, and each of my sons stood up and read a verse, and they pledged that I will protect you and honor you. It was pretty cool. I gave her a promise ring. I said, this is what I'm promising to do, and I'm asking you to honor this, where if there's guys that are wanting to ask you out, that they can talk to me. And it was just this little pledge that we both said we're going to do. But it was the same thing, where we had girls share what they saw in them and what they've loved about them, and then give them a little charge. So it's really just this fun kind of a celebration. If you want to think of some key verses, like for my sons, I was thinking back to what I shared with them. 1 Corinthians 16, 13-14 is my go-to manhood verse about growing up. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. What I love about this, that act like men is a Greek word that only shows up this one time in the whole New Testament. And it just means be a man, okay? Some versions say be men of courage, but it's just act like a man, do the things that men do. Be strong, that all you do be done in love. And just if you want to unpack that with them. 1 Kings 2, David's words to Solomon, be strong and show yourself a man, almost the same thing that Paul said, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes. That can be a challenge you throw out to them. 1 Kings 2. 1 Timothy 6, Paul talking to Timothy, his spiritual son, who we don't ever hear anything about his dad, so we don't know where his dad was in his life. We know that his mom and his grandma had great faith. But he said, but as for you, O man of God, he's bestowing identity in that statement. You are a man of God, whether you feel like it or not. Flee these things that he's just been talking about and pursue
righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called. Guys like those action words. Okay, give me some action. Give me some things I can latch on to. Same thing in the next letter to him. He says, so flee youthful lusts, passions, and pursue. So you're running away from something, being a child, all the passions that you used to follow. And now I want you to chase after something else. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And here's a big reminder for our kids. Our daughters are going to do this more naturally, but for our sons, you're not meant to do this alone. You do all this along with those. You've got to have a band of brothers that you're with that are going to encourage you and challenge you and sharpen each other. You need that, okay? So that's a verse. With my daughters, one of the ones I like is from Psalm 144. May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown. Our daughters, like corner pillars, some translations say carved to adorn, cut for the structure of a palace. So you think of a beautiful palace. You've got all these stones, and those are nice. They're individual, but then the corner ones are more visible, and if they're carved to adorn it, it's this beautiful thing like that, where it's, wow, that's awesome to look at, or that's awesome to look at. For our daughters also, we talked about 1 Peter 3, but let your adorning, same type of word, be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty, because it's all about beauty. My things I pray against for my teenage daughters were guys, glamour, and gossip. Like, those are my big things. Like, I don't want you to be obsessed and distracted by guys or glamour, and this is what these verses are talking about, or just talk and feeling like you've got to be in the know and little stuff. But the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight, and God's sight is very precious. So it goes back to who you're living to please. The world's going to say, this is really precious. God says, this is what I value. And then, obviously, a great verse, Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful, reminding our daughters. Being charming, whether it's you or what you're looking for in a prince charming, it's deceitful. It's shallow. It's their personality. Great, so they're fun, but do they have any character, right? And beauty is vain. It's literally beauty is fleeting. It's the same word that shows up all through the book of Ecclesiastes. The word hevel, it means breath. Like seeing your breath on a cold morning, then it disappears. Just reminding them, that's what your beauty is going to do, okay? But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. So you give them a blessing, give them direction. A couple other things to include, give them a gift. This doesn't need to be extravagant. It's more important that it serves as a tangible keepsake of the event that they can hold on to for years to come. A book of letters may be written for them. Some parents, you know, journal and a Bible for a year and give it to them. With my son Kobe, when he graduated high school, we also gave him a ring. Like I said, I gave my daughters rings and arrows, swords, those kinds of things. And then the goal here is just set the stage. Like, this event is your opportunity to, it's like having this sex talk with my kids. When I told them, like, this is not a one and done thing. That's what I got. I got this. Here's how babies are made. Never talked about anything else ever. So this is not a, hey, you're a man. Good luck with that. This is beginning. This is setting the stage. We're going to have a new relationship here, and we're going to continue to have these conversations as time goes on. But this event serves as an opportunity to set a new tone for your changing relationship. Your role is shifting from primarily teacher and coach to more of a consultant as they accept the new freedoms and responsibilities that accompany young adulthood. Let them know you'll be there to help them work through challenges and navigate landmines as they take ownership for choices in their walk with God. Now, again, all of this depends on where you can handle them. Don't just say, like, okay, well, 13, because some 13-year-old boys, it's a bad idea. You're not ready for more discipline. Okay, for more self-discipline or responsibility. My daughter Annabeth, she was making great choices. She wasn't boy crazy. Callie, at that age, nope, we're going to wait a little bit longer. And you're not going to take this seriously. And so, again, you're praying for wisdom in all of this. So, practical checklist. Here's a few things, and then we'll end with some Q&A time. Just evaluate is the first one. Is our relationship strong enough for the experience to feel authentic versus forced? Like, if this, just like you're going to surprise on them, hey, by the way, we're having a party for you, be there, and you don't have any relationship with them, and they're going to be like, what? It's like, yeah, and then even that could create, like, you want to make sure, like, okay, do we have a heart-level relationship strong enough to bear the weight of truth, of hard conversations, all those things that you're just going to say, to challenge them or to encourage them, whatever. Does my child have other adults in his or her life who have had enough influence to participate in such an experience? You don't want to just be like, well, we'll invite the youth pastor, but if the youth pastor doesn't know your son or your daughter, like, they're just going to recruit. Like, so find someone who you feel has poured into your kids. And like I said, does my teen show signs that he or she is willing to move towards adult responsibilities and attitudes? Okay? So, if you answer no to any of these questions, it might be better to plan a special dinner alone together to begin this meaningful dialogue rather than attempt the full rite of passage experience. And there's other books. Some of you remember JP, who used to be here, but he wrote Welcome to Adulting. There's books you can begin to give them and equip them with. Here's a book called Rite of Passage Parenting. I'll leave these up here when we're done. One of the things I loved, The Art of Manliness, if you guys have never been to that website, it's really fun, but they have The Art of Manliness kind of illustrated, and it shows all these things that you can learn to do. That's another fun book to kind of guide them in that direction. But anyways, those are some things to consider. What about when we should do this? Well, what day is best to make this event special? This is where I would just tell you usually, mom knows the schedule and what's best a little bit more than dad, so I'm like, honey, here's what I'm thinking. How's our calendar looking, right? But should it be on a birthday in conjunction with a holiday? Is it a special day of its own, like you're graduating, whatever it is? I think we did birthdays. It was kind of around the goal of what we did. What date would work best for those who might need to travel to participate? If you're going to invite, like, granddad's going to come, right? Or Uncle Joe, like, you're considering those things. Who you should include, I've already talked about these a little bit, but what relatives should participate? A grandparent, a respected aunt or uncle, an older brother or sister. It was really fun, as my older kids obviously got older, for them to be a part of now their younger siblings' rite of passage. And it almost gave them a little bit more seriousness in their own life about, like, I'm calling them into this as well, and I need to model this for them. Is my child close to a pastor, youth minister, teacher, or coach that he or she respects? Coaches are really great opportunities where they're pouring into your kids and they're seeing another side of your kids in different settings that you might not see. So, like, let them encourage your child. And then if you're not planning the event as a surprise, you can ask your teen to suggest who he or she would like to include. Like, if you're not just going to throw this, you know, on them like, surprise, you can be like, hey, here's what we're going to do. Who is someone that you really feel has poured into you, that you respect and look up to, that you'd want to invite? Okay? Last thing, how do you do this? Would my child prefer a formal event or a casual experience? Jordan would be more formal. Second-born son needs to be casual. Like, he would just get all nervous that we were doing this, like, big formal event. So it's like, we're going to play basketball, and we're just going to sit around in a circle. So kind of knowing, both my daughters enjoyed kind of a formal little dress-up excuse to buy clothes and paint our nails. What would be a good setting for the event? At home? At grandparents' home? Maybe, like, rent out a room in a favorite restaurant, a church, a park. Like I said, we did one at camp. We did one in a gym. We did one in our living room. We reserved the fellowship hall one time and had kind of a little event. And again, afterwards, we had snacks and punch, whatever. This was with my daughters. What kind of fun activity would our child enjoy doing with the older men or women before the formal portion of the event? For example, a teen boy might enjoy going to a shooting range or golfing, while a girl might prefer shopping or, I don't know. I'm just throwing these out there. But my son Kobe really enjoyed kind of the throwing of the axes and the stuff like that. That was just kind of fun. All the boys enjoyed it. He invited a couple of his friends whose dads were going to come. And even the dads obviously had a great time with that. So, what questions do you guys have? And let me just tell you this. I have a whole lot more advice on raising boys than girls, because we've just had so many different varieties. So there's a ton of really good books out there that I could recommend that you could go through with them. Anyways, that's just my thoughts there. And again, you get to make this kind of your own thing. We just kind of made it up as we went. But the bigger thing is I want to have the heart of a discipler, that I'm making sure my kids feel something that's a little more, we're calling them into adulthood. So what questions do you guys have, or what do you want to ask? What do you want to talk about? Yes, sir.
I heard you say that, like, you need to be prayerful and seek wisdom on, like, the timing, individual for each kid. And so I know I need to do that. But I have a son who's he's turning 15 at the end of this month.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm trying to decide, like, should we try to do something like this when he's 16, and we start talking about it now, and we do some equipping over the year in preparation for that, I'm also feeling like we've had some tension. He's a teenager, and I'm trying to figure it out. And so I'm trying to figure out, like, would it be more beneficial for us to go ahead and do something as he's turning 15, that even if it's part of that conversation is just me being honest with him about, like, I'm not sure how to do this, and I'm trying to shift into this coaching role with you, and I want to do this on the right foot with you. So I'm trying to figure out, like, and I know that's kind of between me and God and him, but I'm also just asking if you have some wisdom just overall about either pulling the trigger and turning that corner, or like waiting till we're both a little more ready.
Yeah. So for sure, I just think being vulnerable and not trying to act like you've got this all together. Like I said, like the way I was raised, I'm going to get back to your thought, but I just know all of my discipline experiences with my dad were never fun, never felt like any type of discipline was going on. And even when it was done, I still kind of felt like I was in the doghouse with my dad. And like, I didn't know, like, how do I get out of this kind of thing? But if I wasn't careful with my children, I felt like doing the exact same thing. Like, I'm still kind of mad at you kind of a thing. But I remember recognizing it and with my son Caleb saying, okay, buddy, I really don't know how to end these discipline sessions well. And I'm just going to tell you that. I don't know. I don't feel like I... And so I just want to tell you that I love you, and I just want to affirm that. And so my point is, I think you being vulnerable and just say, hey, listen, buddy, I am really excited about doing this with you. I didn't really feel like I got this, but I want so much more for you. So here's where we're headed. And I'm going to be fumbling and stumbling along as we go. Some of you heard me say this many times. G.K. Chesterton said, if a thing's worth doing, it's worth doing badly. And his point is not like, so lower the bar. But his point is, if it's that important, like, you might fumble and stumble through it, but you did it. If you're waiting till, man, I feel like it's going to be, it's like doing a family diva or anything. Like, they never go the way I planned. Like, literally ever. Ever. But I think telling him, here's where we're going. And so then, like, so to prepare for that, we're going to go through this book together. A great one for sons. The book of Proverbs was written to sons. Like, go through and see how many times this is, my son, my son, my son, my son. And it said, hey, for this whole month, we're going to read a proverb a day. Whatever the chapter, whatever the month, day of the month is, we're going to read that chapter. We're going to take a journal and draw a line down the middle and write wise on one side and fool on the other. And every day, we're going to record, here's what a wise person does, or a prudent man, a discerning man, right? Here's what a fool does, or a sloth, you know, or a mocker, all these things. At the end of a month, you've got this whole list of, like, here's what I want for you, and here's what you don't want. But it's like you're discovering it together. And when I did this with my sons, it's kind of fun because I'm doing it as well, and I'm being vulnerable. I'm sharing, like, this is what I'm learning. Here's what I need to be reminded of, so they don't feel like this is just lecture time. Other books, I will tell you, besides Raising a Modern Day Knight, Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle. In the 2000s, there was Every Man's Battle, the book, which is great, talking about lust and porn for men. But this book, I highly recommend for a teenage boy, for a father to go through with a teenage boy, because it is all getting them ready for adolescence and the different changes in their life. And it's not just your body's going to be changing. It's not that awkward stuff. It's all about, listen, as you become a young man, you're going to want more independence. And that is natural. That is God-given. God put that in you. Now, the deal is you're still under our roof. So you're going to have to learn how to navigate that and submit to authority and stuff. But that is, this is a good thing. When you feel that you want that independence, that is a good thing. But you've got to learn how do you harness that. Because you're going to be, you know, you're going to be, have a coach over you or a boss over you. All these things, wherever we go, you're going to have people over you, but you're going to still want your independence. So how do you learn to live and to submit to authority in a godly way? But it reminds them about that. It talks about you're going to think differently. You're going to think more abstractly. You're going to think deeper about stuff, and that is good. And then it does say you're going to think about girls differently. You're going to notice their shapes more. You're going to want to see them naked. Like, it's honest about this stuff. Like, this is what you're about to experience. So going through, what I love about this book is the first half is for dads to read on their own. The second half is for you to read with your son. And so it's almost like I'm reading with them and letting the person speak to us, but they're saying what I want to say, okay? And sometimes as I'm reading, it's like, I don't think he's quite ready for that one. So we'll skip over some of those things. But it has a lot of conversation starters. Dad, share how you felt about this or whatever. A book that I went through with each of my boys, A Guide to Biblical Manhood. I'm just going to tell you this. Sorry, there's not a whole lot out there for girls, because girls just are more naturally more mature in a lot of ways. They're still having times and stuff like that, but you don't see all of these girls in their late 30s living at home in mom's basement, right? You just don't see that. It's the guys who are struggling to thrive. So that's more of my passion as well. If you ever want to watch kind of a sobering video, there's a TED Talk called The Demise of Guys. It's interesting about where our guys are. I went through this book with my son-in-law when he was dating my daughter together. And it's just a really great, what does it mean to be a man? Biblical manhood. But I went through this with each of my sons. Another one, Thoughts for Young Men by J.C. Ryle. So this is the crazy thing. This is written in the 1800s. If you guys ever heard of J.C. Ryle, he's considered like one of the last Puritans. Do get the updated edition because it's not in Old English and it's not all King James. But when you read this, it's actually crazy, scary, and encouraging because he talks about why are young men today so not interested in spiritual things? Why are young men today so just want to be entertained? And you're like, what? This sounds like young men today. And so he was seeing the exact same things. And again, this is where Satan loves to attack young men. But going through that with my son was really great because he gives some good advice. Just having sons, this book is dated now, but Dennis Rainey wrote a good one. He's with Family Life on Stepping Up. This was a big one. Before my sons became teenagers, I read this book by C. Farrar about just how every boy wants to be valued and honored by their dad. And then if you've never gotten your kids The Dangerous Book for Boys, that's just a fun one. And these are just kind of more fun for younger boys, although these are fun to read for me because it's stuff that I still never learned. It's like Morse code and how to build a proper tree house and stuff like that. But anyways, some of that helps you, but that's just kind of what I would do. I would make it like, we're excited about this. We're going towards something. Okay, Jonathan?
You just said things that your dad never taught you.
Uh-huh.
Your sons are older. They're grown up now.
Uh-huh.
How would you describe the rite of passage is cool, but mm-hmm. how do you see a difference in your sons now that maybe it's a tangible thing? That's what I was missing. They got it, and that's
yeah. Change. I don't know. I felt like it helped them see themselves differently. Like they, like my son Rylan, for example, and this is only because I saw that he was responsible for this. When he was 18 years old, he went and lived in South Africa for a whole year. Now he went and lived with a family that we knew, but it's like my son is literally on the other side of the planet. My daughter Annabeth, when she graduated high school, she wanted to go to a Bible school in Australia. And again, it depends on your kids. If it was Callie, I would have been like, no way, like what? But Annabeth like did all the fundraising, all the planning, knew where she wanted to go. And it was like, this is my baby girl. But I was so like, she's confident. She wants this. I think we can make it happen. So I think seeing more of independence in them that I didn't have, at least on the surface. And what's fun is all three of my boys have sons. My oldest son has one, second has one. My third born has two boys. And so to watch them now raise their boys. So I just feel like it's their mentality of a little more independence and confidence to go try new things. Like they've tried different jobs and So I feel like it's helped them in that way.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah. So okay. To take risks.
Yes. Yeah. Be willing to take risks. That's a good one. Yeah.
Did you say their friends were included in
this? I did if their dad was going to be there. Like I wanted it to be I wanted their friends to be excited and to see this in them and to hear what these men were saying and kind of what we're calling your friend to. So that they knew, like, this is the expectation I have on my son that you're now going to be a part of. But I didn't have them share. Okay, so I didn't have those friends share. Yeah, they could be there and watch it. But I was like, I don't know what you're going to say. Like a 13-year-old boy giving advice. I'm like, we're not going to do that. But that was fun. Yeah.
Do you have suggestions on how to foster these relationships between our children and older men or women?
Yeah, some of it was, I know that I did ask some older people, like, hey, I would love it if you feel like taking my daughter out for coffee or just spending some time with my son. And it really is crazy, you guys. We have 1 minute. When I was a youth pastor, I remember parents coming to me saying, like, I'm so mad at you, like kind of joking, but I'm like, what? They're like, I have been saying the exact same thing to my child, and then you say it, and they come home, they're like, he's so smart, and like they're upset about that. I'm like, I'm sorry. But I really do think there's a part during the teenage years where they can't hear what you're saying. Now, again, it's getting in there, but they think when they're kids, like, you're so amazing, and then they think you know nothing, and then Interviewing, working with Pineco for 11 years and interviewing college students, one of the questions was, when you become a parent, what might you do differently? And it's always fascinating to hear them say, you know, I used to think my parents, but now I see that they actually weren't dumb. They actually knew what they were talking about. So I think just asking people to pour into them, because people that you know are going to be saying and reinforcing the same things that you know. But maybe just inviting them over, like to hang out at your house and like let them maybe start a friendship or do something together with them, and then kind of let that relationship, you know, maybe start. But there have been many times when I've asked another young person, I mean, younger than me, to, hey, would you like to hang out with my son at all? If you want to, you know, he really looks up to you. If you got any, I would love for you to, you know, pour into him a little bit. So, okay, it is 10 o'clock, you guys. Thanks for being here. And you got 15 minutes to get to your next breakout. Okay? Thanks, you guys.